Welcome. You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Ayers Allee are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. There's something new on Ayers Allee every day. Hello, this is Roger Baker, and every Monday we bring you the latest news from the world of entertainment. The following three articles are from the online website TMZ.com. Our first article, Lilo and Stitch actor David H.K. Bell dead. Actor David Hakili Kanui Bell, who appeared in Disney's live-action Lilo and Stitch, has died, his family confirms to TMZ. David's sister Jolene initially shared the heartbreaking news in a lengthy Facebook post Sunday, calling him a generous, funny, brilliant, and handsome little brother who gave her the unconditional love she never got from a father. The posting read, "It is with a heavy heart I share that my sweet, generous, talented, funny, brilliant, and handsome little brother, David H.K. Bell, will spend today in the company of our Heavenly Father. I've been waiting for the words and mindset to properly express the joy of a human and prince of a man he was, but fate pushed my hand this morning by a pre-scheduled Father's Day newsletter honoring the men in our lives. I met my little brother at the age of 18 on my high school graduation day. It was the most amazing surprise, which I had been asking for years, that our moms made happen for us, and that gift has lasted a lifetime. While I didn't grow up with a father, David gave me all the unconditional love I could possibly ask for, and I believe that all his family and friends received the same from him. He was always so proud of me, his nieces and his grandnephews, constantly engaged and always coming up with fun activities to get together. We looked forward to going to Tahiti and the Lindsay reunion together to create more family connections. David loved being an actor, doing voiceovers, spending time with Brutus, traveling as an ambassador for Kona Brew. The film industry and entertainment was so exciting to him, and I loved that he enjoyed the art. He went to Punahou and Kalani while our dad spoke Hawaiian, so his ability to deliver lines with English understanding, indigenous knowledge, and pidgin to the max made him a diamond in the rough. You can hear him over the PA system on arrival at Kona Airport, where he loved working to create an awesome and safe customer experience. He was and will remain a bright and shining star. He recently made it onto the big screen with an iconic Lilo and Stitch moment. Jolene reflected on their bond and how just 2 weeks ago, he treated the family to the Lilo and Stitch opening night at Kapolei. His final outing with them was watching fans in full Stitch gear, sharing popcorn, and dreaming of shaved ice after the film. News of his death is still reaching those close to him, with his rep Lashawana Downey telling TMZ, "I'm learning like you through social media. This is heartbreaking and sad. He was one of my best talent and embodied the true meaning of aloha, a gentle giant." While no cause of death has been publicly revealed, it's clear David left a deep impact on everyone around him, with his friend Gerard Elmore also paying him an emotional tribute. Bell, a proud Hawaiian, was known locally for his voiceover work over the PA system at Kona Airport, and also had some other acting gigs throughout the islands, such as Magnum PI and Hawaii Five-O. Rest in peace. Boston University. Soccer alums defend coach after Alex Cooper allegations. A number of former Boston University's women's soccer players are speaking out in support of the coach at the center of Alex Cooper's sexual harassment allegations, saying their interactions with the staffer were drastically different. TMZ Sports obtained a letter from a representative of BU women's soccer alumni, signed by 99 former Terriers athletes, which states, while they do not look to diminish or discredit anyone's individual experience, they felt it was necessary to share their own perspectives as a united group. In the letter, the alums say, "We categorically never felt unsafe under the coach's leadership," adding, "We were never at risk of or witness to inappropriate behavior or anything that could be characterized as sexual harassment. As a leader, she approached every day with professionalism, making decisions in service of the success of the team." The group, featuring alums spanning several decades, went on to say the coach's influence didn't end after their collegiate careers, as she has remained an important part of our lives and we shall stand by her. As we previously reported, Cooper claimed in her Call Her Alex documentary that the coach was inappropriate with her during her time on the team in the mid-2010s and would ask questions about her love life. Cooper claimed she even got benched from a game for not disclosing certain intimate information, and when her family approached school officials over the matter, nothing came of it. The college released a statement on the matter last week, saying, "Boston University has a zero-tolerance policy for sexual harassment. We have a robust system of resources, support, and staff dedicated to student well-being, and a thorough reporting process through our Equal Opportunity Office. We encourage members of our community to report any concerns, and we remain committed to fostering for a safe and secure campus environment for all." And finally, Matthew Perry death. Dr. Plasencia agrees to plead guilty. One of the doctors charged in connection with Matthew Perry's ketamine death is one step closer to doing hard time because he just copped to a slew of crimes. According to new legal docs obtained by TMZ, Dr. Salvador Plasencia, one of two physicians busted in the Perry case, has agreed to plead guilty to four counts of distribution of ketamine. Federal prosecutors say they expect Dr. Plasencia to formally enter his plea in the coming weeks. He's facing up to 40 years in federal prison, but both sides have agreed to recommend a sentence of 15 to 21 months, though it's ultimately up to the judge. As we reported, Plasencia was accused of supplying Matthew's assistant, Kenneth Awamasa, with several vials of ketamine and showing him how to administer the drug. He was also accused of administering ketamine to Matthew. Plasencia is the guy the feds say sent this message about Matthew: "I wonder how much this moron will pay for the ketamine." The other physician charged in the case, Dr. Mark Chavez, already cut a plea deal, as did Iwamasa and Eric Fleming, who prosecutors say helped broker the drug deals. Meanwhile, Jasmine Sangha, a.k.a. the ketamine queen, is still fighting the charges against her. If you want to learn more about Ayers LA and the types of programs we offer, follow us by clicking on any of the social media links at the top of our webpages. If you like what you see or hear, please click the like button. This podcast is for the sole use of our blind and print impaired audience. Any unauthorized use is prohibited. We'll be back again next Monday with more news from the fascinating world of entertainment. I'm Roger Baker.